Hey, welcome back. Our final hour here of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're just holding over for a few minutes here. A gentleman that we had on last hour, Jay Sanis with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, is with us. And another gentleman who was recording actually a video of himself as he was hiking along a trail here in the foothills, some hiking territory in the foothills above the city of Los Angeles. It was at that time while he was recording video of himself and his party that he fell about 75 feet down the side of this embankment. And we're going to pick the story up there. We have the gentleman on the line with us. He is in Alhambra, California, and is kind of giving us this if you will, blow-by-blow of what happened while he was on this trail. The gentleman is on the line with us from Alhambra. Jay, are you there? I just make sure we have all the principles.
No, I'm right here. Yeah,
and I won't make the mistake that Mr. Santos made in our life. You don't want your name mentioned at all.
I do not want my name mentioned, and he made the mistake of mentioning my first name. I realized that he didn't mention my last name.
That game.
What?
Where his first name was Lloyd.
That's exactly what I did not.
Would you please be quiet?
You're talking to me?
No, sir. I'm asking my staff. Shut up, okay?
Who was the man that said that? I'm sorry, Mr. Bonafide. It's Jay Sanis. I will get to the bottom of it, okay? Get to the bottom of it. I asked you not to use my name. That's the second time. I'm very sorry about that.
Okay, but you heard what the man said, right?
I didn't use the last name.
It doesn't matter to me whether you've used my last name or not. I don't want to be held up to the ridicule of others.
All right, sir, let's just, you know, it's okay. No, your last name wasn't used.
That's about the sixth time you people have said that to me. I've asked you not to use my name at all. And that includes my first name, which I won't say, even though it's been used twice. Well, I might as well. My name, my...
Don't just forget the whole topic of name.
Because now I'm tempted to use my name.
Don't use your name. You don't want your name used. We've made the mistake of using it twice. It's your first name. We won't use it.
Why am I compelled? Why do I feel drawn to using it? It might be psychological, sir.
What's that?
It might be something psychological. Well, Mr. Sanis, I haven't known you for very long, but I think you are not the one to be discussing psychology and some of the higher arts having to do with the mind, because I'm bitterly disappointed in the kinds of clods that you've got working.
I apologize. We're doing the very best we can. We had a tape. I did this now on account of... I did just now play it.
We've heard the tape of you falling down this cliff.
You have heard it. And what is your estimation?
I don't know what the purpose is of this.
The purpose, Mr. Hendry, is to indicate what Mr. Sanis was talking about, the unsafe nature of some of our parks on a day when you're celebrating the anniversary of a park where you can go and fall thousands of feet to your death. Now, that's the...
Let me take it from here, if you wouldn't mind, sir.
Go ahead.
Because he's very... What we're talking about, Mr. Hendry, is having the clarity and respect for the national parks, which we all love, to let people know you go in there and you are taking it, you're taking it into the hand, you know, whether you use one hand or two. You understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean by that?
Is this Mr. Hendry?
No, sir. This is the gentleman that fell down the cliff.
This is Mr. Hendry.
All right, Mr. What I'm saying, sir, so I'm not talking to you, am I, Phil?
No, you're talking to the other guy.
I'm the other guy. What do you mean by that?
Sir, what I mean by that is if you, just as you so very eloquently proved when you fell down a cliff,
Well, I wasn't looking to eloquently prove anything, and I don't think there's anything eloquent about a man that falls. Would you please play that tape again, because I think the two of you gentlemen have...
You got the tape, Joe?
No, you have it.
I'm sorry, we do. All right, stand by. This is a tape recording on October 7 of last year, 2012, in a forested area. In a forested area, once again, in a forested area.
Woo!
Houston area. That's a tape recording.
Okay. Do you recognize that?
That's the one. That's the one.
All right. Now, what is the purpose of you said it's to point up how unsafe the area is.
It's to point up how unsafe the area is, how unsafe any of the national parks can be.
Can I ask a question at this juncture? I don't mean any disrespect. I don't really hear anything there that sounds like a guy falling off of a cliff.
I didn't fall off a cliff. I didn't fall off a cliff. I told you as we were exiting and we did. Is this the gentleman I was talking to about the Bigfoot?
Yes, sir. It's Mr. Henry.
Yes, sir.
I saw a creature. We were in the Mexican standoff. And that's when I decided to take my chances down the cliff face to get away from this thing. And it was at that time that as I was lowering myself, I lost my footing. Now, that's...
So, in other words, you saw this animal, this Bigfoot, and decided to turn and run.
Well, don't put it like I'm some kind of a baby, okay?
That, now, we're not saying that, but you were trying to get away from it.
I was trying to outmaneuver it. I went down the face of this thing, and it was at that point that I lost my footing, yes. But I, at no time was I running from it. I don't run from anything. It just is a personal philosophy of mine.
All right. Did you report any of this to the Park Service?
I did not report it to the Park Service, and the reason, quite obvious, is that you're going to be taken for some kind of an ass. You know, pointless. All I did was I called up this Mr. Santos. I'd been given his card in a Jamba Juice.
That's correct.
And,
you were given Jay Santos' card in a Jamba Juice.
That's right. Okay, did I make a mistake? Yes, probably I did.
Well, I don't think you did. I mean, you gave me a tape recording, and we have it, and...
What are you going to do with it?
Well, I'm playing it for Mr. Henry. What do you think?
I think it doesn't sound like anything.
Doesn't sound like anything. I had six shades, six different distinct shades of crap scared out of me, and you're telling me it doesn't sound like anything.
No, it doesn't, sir. It sounds like, whoa, and something like that.
What was that?
It just doesn't sound like a guy falling off of a cliff. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry that you saw that you were frightened by this creature.
And the fact that I saw this big thing, or whatever you're calling it.
It's called Bigfoot.
It's called a Bigfoot.
It's Bigfoot, sir.
Bigfoot.
All right, and that doesn't mean anything to you.
Unfortunately, no, it doesn't, because there's sightings of that supposed animal everywhere. So,
You see, this is why I said to Ellen, who is my daughter-in-law, you know, don't take that man's card. You don't know where that hand has been. And I'm sorry that you feel that way, sir, because we did our very best. Doing your very best, you used my name, and you played the tape of me falling off.
Look, I got to tell you something. A Yosemite National Park, being 125 years old, is a good thing, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to run into Bigfoot, you're going to run into the guy from Friday the 13th, that you're going to meet up with some kind of a werewolf, that you're going to get your arm stuck in a boulder and have to gnaw it off, okay?
Well, you know something, Mr. Henry? I thank God in heaven that I did not get my arm stuck in a boulder, because it wouldn't have taken me no 128 hours. I can tell you that right now, my friend. If I'm stuck and I got to get out, I will bite the bullet, my man, and I will cut that arm off. I'll cut my own. If it's stuck, I will cut it off.
And that includes your penis, then.
Yeah, that's exactly what it includes.
Well, you sure don't have much use for it, do you?
Hey, let me tell you something, smartass.
Hold on for a minute.
I'm going to tell this. If you've got it stuck in a boulder, my man, you aren't going to have much use for it ever again, whether you get it out of there or not.
It just doesn't sound like you're so ready to part company with it.
You know something, Santos? I regret the day I ever laid eyes on you in that Jamba Juice.
It's called a Jamba Juice.
Well, I don't give a sweet damn. You could, hey, Jamba Juice. I'm going to call you Jamba Juice because of this ass.
All right. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Did you still have him on?
No, it was fine for an hour. But then listening to these guys going on about how... if you got it, your thing stuck there, and that's two nights in a row we're talking about cutting that off. Well, it's a good thing we've got Obamacare, because if you had that cut off...
It doesn't matter, Margaret. People that are against Obamacare, they won't even use it if they had their thing cut off by a crazed woman. We've already established that. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the final hour here of our Tuesday night show. Our number is 855-500-7445, online at philhenryshow.com. Coming up, the L.A. Podfest on Saturday. Bobby Dooley will be there from 4 to 5:30. So get your tickets now. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back. By the way, you know, I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/Phil Henry and facebook.com/Phil Henry fans. If you want to go over to the fan page, we're there. Unfortunately, with our 5,000 limit there with our quote-unquote friends. And to the guy down there in San Diego who works for some light station, dude, I don't want your messages about how this, that, and something else. If you don't dig it, I tell you what, why don't you quit spinning all that that sissy-ass stuff, that chicken rock, and do something real for a living, okay? You want a talk show, go get a talk show. I don't need to listen to your advice. Are you a program director? Automatically, I don't. If you're a PD, I don't listen to you at all, man. You go, your comments go right straight into the delete column. It just, you know, fair warning. Okay, so this guy's sending me messages.
Well, who is this?
I'm not giving any names out. Hey, man, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? You know what, man? Go back to playing whatever that garbage is you play. Go play your Michael McDonald, whatever that chick, I don't know, even know what the hell adult contemporary is playing these days, man.
That's, you gotta listen to radio and know what's going on.
I don't listen to radio anymore. I don't listen to radio. Are you crazy? Why would I listen to radio? I listen to the stations that we're on, and that's it. Those are the only radio stations I listen to, and then I go and I listen to whatever the hell, I don't know, man. I listen to the birds in the trees. I listen to the wind, you know. I listen to the ocean.
Well, you live close to the ocean, so you can hear those things. Some of us live in the city, and we have to listen to the grinding gears of the garbage trucks and the honking of the horns.
Well, but if you live in that environment...
I live in that environment because I live in Santa Monica. Although I do live close to the ocean. Bud, where do you live?
I live wherever I want to live.
Yeah, Bud lives under bridges, you know.
I live in the city, and it's loud. I like to live in the ocean, but... You know, can't afford it right now.
Well, you know what? Maybe I ought to give you guys a raise, okay? Give you enough money so you can live at the ocean. And although we aren't making that much money these days, well, I make enough, but I don't have enough to pay you. Is that okay?
Sure, Mr. Henry. Anything just to be near you.
Yeah.
Boy, now that's what I call loyalty.
Yeah, well, the point being, you live out at the ocean and the rest of us...
Don't give me the rest of us stuff, Margaret. You make enough money. Or at least Frank does.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So that's what I listen to, you know. But Facebook, good God. And by the way, going over to Facebook, you know...
Why do you even worry about it?
I gotta go over there because we have a fan page. But, you know, if you really want to know why it is 13% of the country is approving of the Congress of the United States... It's because the Congress of the United States apparently only reads what people on Facebook write about them, because Facebook is the capital of the Tea Party, man. I'm telling you. You go over there and you read some of the dumbasses over there and you swear to God this is the greatest Congress that has ever been. This Congress is the greatest that there has ever been. And, you know, day in and day out, man. So, and I think that's what they were doing. I think they were basically just saying, let's go over to Facebook and read our fan mail. And it was just so glowing, just the magnificent stuff that's happening over there for them. And they didn't realize it's only like 13% of the whole country approves of what they're doing. So there you have it. And then this asinine picture of these jackasses sitting there at that table. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What are they supposed to be doing?
They're waiting to negotiate with the Democrats.
I thought that they... Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't they already pass this bill? Wasn't it already debated? Didn't they already put it in front of the Supreme Court? Didn't they already say that this, that, and something else? Wasn't this already a done deal? And these guys are trying to make it look... These guys are trying to get reelected. They want people back home to reelect them to make it look like they're doing something. You failed, guys. You suck. You suck. If anybody puts you back in office, if people actually reelect your worthless asses, then what they ought to do is just gerrymander those districts out of existence. Because there isn't anybody that's using their brains around there. You guys were elected. You were elected to do whatever it was you were elected to do, and apparently you didn't do it, man, because no one cares whether you cats live or die. So the best thing that can happen is for you guys to just not even run for re-election if you're up for re-election. And if you are up for re-election, if you're not up for re-election, that's a good piece of news. You know, good for you and us. And, you know, but they don't get the message, man. First of all, these guys thought that they were going to have a Republican in the White House. This was the feeling that they were absolutely dead on sure that Romney was going to get elected. Oh, yeah, you watch. The American people are pissed off. Blah, 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 blah. Guess what happened? Didn't happen. And then, and the day after that election, you would have thought an atomic bomb went. They were walking around stunned, these guys. Walking around like they couldn't believe it. They couldn't, but something's wrong. How did this happen? And people were asking the following question: is the Republican Party dead? Has it served its purpose? Is it done? There's no reason for the existence of this party any longer. Nobody understands half of the stuff they're talking about. The things that they apparently stand for, only a very small minority of Americans support. That makes them pretty much a fringe party. That doesn't make them a mainstream party. So why do they even exist? Now they've been taken over by this fringe. Not one damn thing these jackasses got elected to do from 2010 until now. I'm just telling you what they themselves will admit to. They ain't passed one piece of legislation, not one. So now, the last thing they do is they try and re-debate the health care plan, which already got debated. They're trying to roll back the clock and somehow stop this thing from happening, even though all of that is a done deal, man. It got voted into law. It got adjudicated as constitutional by the U.S. Supreme Court, and of course all of the brain surgeons in the Tea Party, and you know that they're just overflowing with some real gray matter over there. Now they're questioning the wisdom of the Supreme Court because they got some real brains over there. They got some...
You know, Phil, you're getting way too political. Even I, a liberal, feel for you.
It's my frustration is coming out. Just... I'm very, very, I'm okay. I spent the weekend, and what do you want from me? I spent the whole weekend in Washington, D.C., man.
Well, what are you doing? You over there watching the Congress and everything?
What?
You over there watching the Congress?
No, I wasn't, man. I was taking care of a sick friend.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was doing. But it just so happens I was in our nation's capital doing it. So I'll be fine. But you can see, you know. I flew yesterday when I came back to California. I took off at 7:30 in the morning from Washington. That's 4:30 West Coast time. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to pick up 3 hours.
This is the jet lag thing. Are you brain dead or something? Speaking of brain dead, don't you understand?
Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
Wait a minute. What doesn't lurk like... What doesn't work like what?
What doesn't lurk?
What doesn't work?
Doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't work like that.
What doesn't work?
You don't understand.
I'm telling you that I took off at 7:30. I flew to L.A. I picked up 3 hours. It was a three-hour time change. So I'm figuring, oh, this is fantastic. I got 3 extra hours. I went to sleep, took a nap. I woke up, and I felt like somebody had hit me with a bus, man.
That's what I... Excuse me for a minute. That's what I'm talking about.
Would you stop belching on the air, please?
No, I won't. No. I'm not going to sacrifice the well-being...
Yeah, I know, of your esophagus.
That is what you don't get. The 3-hour time change is the jet lag that's going to cause you to feel the way you felt.
Well, I can tell you right now, man, it was bad. So that's the last time I do that. That's the last time that I... going from L.A. time to East Coast time and back again, it's brutal. And there's no way of adjusting. You're not going to survive it. You might as well, you know, just kind of grin and bear it, man, as they used to say. All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and a reminder that Ted Bell and Steve Bozell are calling our football game of the week on Sunday. That's our pro game of the week on Sunday at 1:30 Pacific time, and you can hear all the action at philtv.com with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell. Got to get a backstage pass. You do that at philhenryshow.com. 5,000 hours of audio, all kinds of podcasts, all kinds of webisodes, all kinds of everything there. philhenryshow.com.
I'm telling you that...
hold on for a minute, okay? Number one, I don't want you singing any more of that Ted Bell jingle.
Dave's still on the air.
What?
Still on the air.
I'm just saying the Ted Bell jingle.
What? We're on the air. Will you cut the mic?
I'm the one that fell down the cliff.
Yeah, I understand that, sir. We're done with you.
Well, that's dirty pool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. We thank our guests this evening. Got another 30 minutes or so to be with you. And I suppose we could just, I've been running down the news here, and, you know, it's not for me to say, as that Johnny Mathis, that was an old song, I won't get into it.
What's that?
There was an old song by Johnny Mathis called It's Not For Me To Say.
What does that mean?
It means it's not for me to say. I don't know what it means.
It was a lovely song about, like, it's not for me to say. You know that song?
Uh-uh.
Goes like this, one, two.
Margaret, hold on for a minute, will you?
What?
I mean, can we...
No, they asked a song. They asked about a song. I'm just going to give them... What, you know, what's your problem tonight, Phil?
Yeah, what's the problem? All you want to do is sing it.
Hey, Jack, am I talking to you?
No.
I don't want you to sing it because I got a show that I got to get back into.
That's what I think of your show. How's that feel?
Well, now you finally got it said with a belch, huh?
That's right. I think tonight you're treading water. That's just my...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Phil, but you're treading water tonight.
Is that right?
Well, Miss Larry, you want us to keep you honest on it. It sounds like you're treading water.
It sounds like you're treading water, and I thought I'd give you a hand. He asked about It's Not For Me To Say. I didn't rehearse that. I didn't ask him to bring it up. I'm not looking for an excuse to sing, but it sounds to me like you're treading a little bit of water, and you can use it.
Well, do you have to point that out to everybody? Can't I just sort of, you know, muscle my way through these dark spots, these dark patches?
Well, Phil, I think the audience appreciates the honesty, since it's probably very obvious to them anyway.
Yeah, it's probably obvious to them that you're treading water.
Oh, is that right, Mr. Echo? Mr. Echo Chamber?
No, I'm just repeating what Mr. Henry said.
No, I'm not. I'm repeating what Miss Gray said.
Well, that's what I mean, Miss Gray.
Well, how are you getting the two of us confused?
Take it easy, will you? All right, sing the song.
Well, that doesn't exactly get me in the mood. I sing the song. Why don't you give me a little bit of a build-up, Phil?
Yeah, give her a build-up that's more fitting of it.
Will you be quiet, please?
Why?
Why can't he say what he wants to say?
Give her a build-up that's more fitting of it. I don't even know what he's saying half the time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Margaret Gray to do It's Not For Me To Say.
Thank you. Jesus. Bud Dickman asked moments ago, what is that smell?
I don't know.
Could you...
Margaret, can we get to it, please?
Sorry. Bud Dickman asked moments ago about a song called It's Not For Me To Say. Or actually, Phil mentioned it, and then Bud brought it up. Well, Phil mentioned it. Hold on, Phil.
God.
Hold on. Phil mentioned it, and Bud asked what it was. It was a song by Johnny Mathis, and it goes like this. 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It's not for me to say you love me. See? It's because I'm giving it my touch.
Yeah.
It's not for me to say yay. You are mine. I don't know the words, but do-do-do-do-do-do, you know.
Okay.
Well, that's all I'm saying. By the way, this Republican with his tongue hanging out, who is he?
Michelle Bachman.
Thank you.
You mean, who is he, Michelle Bachman?
I mean...
Looks like a he to me.
All right, well, thank you, Margaret, for that It's Not For Me To Say.
Well, he asked about the song.
It was a song by Johnny Mathis, all right?
I don't know what yours.
Anyway, what I was saying was, it's not for me to say. And it had nothing to do with the song. I was talking about all this news, man, that's been going down here over the last few days that we've been following, having to do with Obamacare. Now, the other thing is, there was a story here about Fox News
And Kip, don't do any...
What?
Don't do anything more on that.
It's very compelling.
No.
All right, we're not going to do any more on that. Sorry. Didn't mean to bother you guys. It's just, it's very compelling, that's all, you know.
Well, I understand, but don't do any more. It's pissing you off.
It is kind of pissing me off. You know, all of this stuff is, it's worthless. So that was the Johnny Mathis song, and we started the program with you trying to rewrite Ted Bell's jingle.
I'm not rewriting the jingle. I wanted to redo the melody to the song, and that's what Ted was asking about, and that's why I came on the program.
All right, well, Ted's back on here, because things have slowed down over at Ted's, is that right?
Yeah, things have slowed. What I said was I'd be more than happy to listen to what it was she had to say once the business got slowed down over here, and we had an opportunity. You know, we had a little bit more time, Margaret. It wasn't that I was trying to preempt you, but we did have quite a few people here that were lined up for tables right now. Ted's in Beverly Hills, a very, very favorite spot. A lot of people love the steaks that we've got here, man, and we've got some drinks that'll just knock your teeth right out. But it has slowed down at least long enough for me to be able to sit down and listen to Margaret. So what have you got for me?
Well, Ted, what I have, and by the way, is Frank over there?
Yeah, Frank walked in here just a few minutes ago, and he's sitting over at a table with a couple of clients.
I'd like to speak with him, if I could, in a couple of minutes.
I'll certainly see if he's available.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on, Phil. What do you mean if he's... I'm his wife.
I understand that, Margaret, but he wants me to clear... He wants me to screen the calls.
Oh, is that right? Well, I'm going to call him on his cell phone.
Well, I have his cell phone.
Wait a minute. Wait, I want to ask a question.
Wait, no, I'm the...
I mean, excuse me. How did you get here?
I don't know, but suddenly I'm...
I'm back here. I want to talk to my husband, please.
Well, Margaret, he gave me his cell phone, and he wants me to screen the calls. What do you want me to say?
Hold on for a minute. Let me talk to him, okay?
All right, I'll see what he says.
What is it with him anyway?
He's in here to have he's in to have his salad, and he's in to have his, he's having his... Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Margaret and Phil Hendry. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Frank, it's Phil.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, Margaret wants to talk to you.
I don't want to talk to him right now. I'm having a drink, and I'm having every day I will talk to him when I get an opportunity.
Frank, this is Margaret. Why won't you talk to me now?
Because I'm having a drink, and I'm having the Caesar salad. And I don't want to talk to you right now, honey. Can a man have a drink and a Caesar salad?
You can have your drink and Caesar salad, but I wanted to ask you something about Jason J. Delmonico.
Oh, for God's sake. What about... We're always talking about her. Can't we talk about me and my problems and the things that concern me?
No, not right now. No, we can't. We have other things to talk about. Jason J. Delmonico, I also want to change the furniture in your office, and I want to talk about that.
Oh, for God's sake. Are you going to bring that homosexual... I have nothing against homosexuals, understand that. But if she comes into the office and starts moving things around...
Boy, did he use the right gender?
No, he calls all gay people by their right gender. I mean,
He calls all gay people by their right gender.
What's that?
Nothing.
So in other words, the gay person that's coming in to change the office is a female?
That's correct, yes.
I don't know what you people are talking about, but you're beginning to really tighten my jaws. Now, quit talking about me like I'm not here. Now, I said to you, Margaret, I will talk about Jason J. Delmonico when I'm done with my drink and my Caesar salad and not a second before. Now, what's Henry want?
I'm just here to say hello to you. I'm glad to hear you. I was going to mediate whatever was going on between you and Margaret.
Oh, yeah, I don't need anyone mediating between me and my wife. I love him very much. Okay, I married him because I knew he'd make a great mother to the son that we both have. And she's turned out to be a great boy. But I can tell you that I don't need him breathing down my neck morning, noon, and night. Why don't you, honey, why don't you go off and buy yourself a dress? I'm always telling him, go get some high heels and a dress. And, of course, naturally, he goes,
Get them out of here!
Oh, for God's sake, Phil, grow up!
Grow up?! Listening to that guy butcher gender is enough to drive a guy to drink. And of course it's almost like he knows what he's doing and he wants to flip me out or something.
Yeah, he's going like Jason Demonico.
His name is not Jason DeMonico. It makes it sound like his name is demonic. Jason J. DeMonico.
All right. He calls her a her. I mean, calls it a her.
It's not an it. It's a him.
Yes, but he calls him an it. I mean, he calls it... He calls her a him. He calls him a her.
Well, make up your mind, for God's sake.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? I'll tell you what's going on with me. Too much of Frank, too much of Margaret, too much of that gender confusion. That's what's going on with me. There, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'll have to get all uptight about it.
Well, I'm getting uptight about it. Listening to him talking about you like he, and he, go out and buy a dress.
Well, he's going in for another series of tests at UCLA. They've got a new serum.
Oh.
So funny.
They got a new serum. Jeez. You know, oh, great. Dr. Frankenstein in residence this week? That's great.
Phil, that was uncalled for.
Oh, will you give me a break? This guy's got a malady that goes beyond anything that I've ever even heard of or understand. The guy gets gender confusion. And why? Because he had an untreated STD that went to his brain. He's okay, except he can't get gender straight. And you're married to the guy. And excuse me for saying this, Margaret, but I think out of the public interest, we should say, you've had relations with this guy.
Well, no kidding. We've got a son together, you jackass.
All right, well, fine. You're going to get upset with me. What are you doing having relations with some guy with this problem?
Well, have you ever heard of using...
Using protection?
I'm not going to...
How'd you have a kid if you use protection?
Wouldn't you like... Well, you...
All right, watch it.
I'm going to explain everything to that thing.
All right, we're going to be right back here, I think, depending upon what goes on during the break. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We do certainly appreciate you hanging out here with us. By the way, we want to say hello to our friends in Alaska, up Alaska Way, Anchorage, Alaska, back on the air. And we're going to say a special hello to our affiliate there when we come back. And all the others that have joined the Phil Henry Network, as well as our listeners, as well as our sponsors, we appreciate and love you
very, very much.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Back on the air at one of our longtime affiliates, KFQD in Anchorage. And got a nice letter from Joe Campbell, the program director up there. Great to have Phil back on the air with us. He was talking about our segment last night with Larry Grover, just letting his mother die rather than have her use that socialized medicine. And so on and so forth. Anyway, they are happy to have us back. Looking forward to some... fun diary comments, and KFQD Anchorage, thank you very much. Great to be on in Alaska, where the sun sometimes never sets and sometimes it, like, never comes up, you know?
What's that all about, anyway?
What's it all about?
Yeah, what, Bud doesn't understand the land of the midnight sun.
Yeah, well, the Earth, you know, Bud, I could explain it to you, but you're not going to get it, you know?
Yeah, you're going to get it, man.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, you're not. You're going to ask me a bunch of dumbass questions.
Explain it to him, Phil. There are a lot of people that may be in the same boat, but are a little bit brighter than him.
Well, thanks a lot.
That's a good point. The land of the midnight sun. How do I explain this? The Earth, during certain seasons, during certain times of the year, the Earth changes it changes its tilt. It tilts a different way. Have you ever seen a globe?
What?
Oh, God, man.
Ben, you're like a globe.
You know, like an office globe.
Yeah, the one we spin around.
Yeah, the one you spin around, yeah. And sometimes it's tilted. Well, the Earth is like that. The Earth is tilted, but it changes its tilt when depending upon the season. So here in North America, where we live, above the equator, during the winter, what we call our winter, we tilt away from the sun. That is, this part of the Earth tilts further away from the sun. And that means that it gets colder, and it also means that the sun spends less time, if you will, in the sky than it does during the summertime. And if you're way the hell up in Alaska, or even further north, like the Arctic Circle, the sun is sometimes barely out. And when they say, you know, land of the midnight sun, that's the summer. That's completely the opposite. The Earth tilts toward the sun, or at least North America does, and Alaska and the North Pole and places like that are practically pointing at the sun all the time, because as the Earth is spinning, Alaska and the North Pole are, you know, they're really not that far away from the sun, no matter what time of day it is. The attitude of that part of the Earth is oriented toward the sun. I know nothing that I'm saying makes any sense to you, Bud, but I'm hoping...
No, it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, just maybe somebody understands.
Bud, that's very charitable of you.
Yes, it is, Bud. Yes, you're right. Even though you don't understand, there's got to be somebody out there that does. So, whoever does, great.
And if you don't, then we understand as well.
Is that right?
Well, yes, because basically what you said, I barely understood what you said.
Oh, will you give me a break? I explained it the best way I could.
What about, like, Australia?
Forget about Australia, will you? I ain't gonna explain Australia.
Yeah, well, how come it's all dark down here?
Because it's the opposite of us, that's why. You understand? The opposite of us.
Why?
Because if we're pointed more toward the sun, man, and you look at the globe, then they're further away from it. You understand?
What? You're out of your mind, man. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life.
Dude, I didn't make this universe. Take it up with the man, okay? Take it up with the man upstairs, all right?
What am I supposed to say to him?
Go ahead and bitch to him about it. I didn't make the world, and I didn't make the damn universe. That's the way it is. That's the way they want it to be. How do I, you know, what the hell?
Well, I'm sure God didn't create the universe, if you want to believe in something like God, which I think, as you know, is very silly. But okay, let's just go with that.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret.
Well, you people that believe in God, you really crack me up. You're cute. I think you're cute. I think you're a lot of fun.
Well, that's just great.
Yeah. Now, if you want to believe in your God, it seems to me that he decided that he'd just mess with your heads. That's what it looks like to me. Because everything's just balled up, you know?
No, everything ain't balled up. Look, if what Bud asked me, if the Earth
is in the sun part, then if North America is in the sun part,
yes, if North America is tilted more toward the sun, then the part of the world below the equator ain't, okay?
No, not okay, but you understand, Bud?
No.
Well, I'm not going to explain it anymore.
Yeah, that's because you people that believe in God...
It's got nothing to do with believing in God. I'm not going to explain this. This is absolute science. This is provable fact, okay? We actually have photographs of the Earth now. We have satellites, and we have all kinds of photographs of the world, what it looks like during certain times of the year, how it's, you know, moving around, how it's... You know, there were people that figured out that the world spun on its axis... They figured that out long before we had spacecraft. They figured that out long before we had photography from outer space. Do you know that people were figuring out exactly what the continents looked like long before we could take pictures of them from outer space? How'd they do that? Man did that with his little tiny itsy-bitsy teeny-weeny brain. We actually had pictures of the continents. We could draw maps of the continents that were exact, absolutely exactly as they now appear through photography from outer space. We realized that our cartographers...
What's that?
A cartographer is a guy that draws maps. They got it dead right. Okay?
Well, all it is math.
Yeah, well, all it is math. But hey, sometimes you get this stuff right, man. And all that jazz. They figured all this stuff out. They've been able to... Look at that. The whole idea of an atom and being able to split an atom. You think there was a photograph of an atom?
What are you talking about, splitting an atom for an atom bomb?
Yes. How'd they know how to split an atom?
Well, what do you mean?
How did they know how to split an atom? That's what I'm asking you.
They figured it out.
Well, how did they figure it out? Did they have a picture one?
They probably had a microscope or something.
No, they didn't, Bud. No, they did not. They had no microscope. They didn't have a picture of an atom. They didn't have jack crap. They didn't have anything.
Well, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me... What are you saying?
I ain't trying to tell you anything. I'm telling you that we split an atom based upon our mathematical deduction that one existed. We didn't have a picture of an atom. We had pictures of mass that moved a certain way. We had pictures of mass that moved around atoms. We had pictures of, and we had mathematical equations that pointed to the existence of atoms. We didn't have an atom. We didn't say, aha, here's an atom, go ahead and split it. We theorized all of this.
What are you talking about, man?
Oh, man, are you...
Phil, I'm an entertainment writer. I don't know... What are you saying?
Are you nuts or something? Are you nuts or something? We didn't have any pictures of atoms. We just split an atom because we decided, based upon mathematical deduction, that one existed.
Are you telling me that we bombed the Japanese based upon someone's bright idea?
Well, yeah, of course. More than a bright idea. I mean, we bombed the Japanese based upon someone's math.
Some guy come up with a mathematical equation, and you're telling me that we bombed,
yes, we created an atom bomb.
Man, that's spooky.
Well, you guys got to do a little more reading and a little less,
How dare you make the sign of masturbation?
What? Anyway, we will see you guys tomorrow, Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you say that I'm pulling it?
You ought to be doing something other than, sitting around. I don't know what you're doing, man.
How dare you?